Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey friends, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and welcome to our podcast.
Yes, we do those really silly, goofy videos your Aunt Linda shares on Facebook, but this is our favorite thing. This is our podcast.
Yeah, and we do this a lot of times. We'll tape it on a Friday after we've finally gotten done with everything that we do in a week. And our list of things that we do every week is lengthy. So it's kind of a chance for us to let a little bit of the stress ooze off.
Ooze.
I feel like, is ooze not a good word for
you
that?
You know, I have a weird word thing. And ooze.
I didn't know ooze was one of them. I knew you didn't like moist.
Oh, okay. Now we're done. Okay, we're done.
And
we're
I knew good. You didn't like the type of undergarment that women wear a certain
don't
way
like
that
it
it's
when okay this is we're trying to
ooze is another one
it's on the fence but I don't like the word panties.
I didn't say it like I hate
that word. Yeah. Like underpants, just say it like underwear, underpants.
Why did you say it again?
I don't know, anyway, we're supposed to go segue into our book that we wrote, and it's available for pre-order now. Go to everybodyfightsbook.com. You can download a free chapter, and we did this cool thing. I say it's cool, but we kind of wrote notes and margins and like backstories, so you can download that. But if you pre-order, we would love you forever. Thank you.
Thank you.
But now we can talk about the words I hate. No, I took to Instagram, the Instagram machine, and I put out a call out for questions and said, hey, guys, have any questions? And so many good ones came in.
Yeah, I'm curious about this. It's interesting. We've done this a few times, and there's always like one or two questions that are they're always the same, right? We've been doing this for a few years now. I'm wondering if the way the world is now is leading to some new and interesting questions.
Yeah, there were some good questions. The first question that I think the most common question we 100% get every single time, but I think it's worth answering every single time, is do your kids get tired of it? That was the first question that came in. And I think it's worth answering every single time.
Well, it's because it kind of changes every time, right?
Right.
Our kids, do you remember a year when you've, and we have these videos to chronicle it, do you remember a year when you've looked at a video and then a video a year later and said, wow, our kids haven't changed a lot? They always change.
Right. And I think this is our approach with our children, which is why most, if you look and you do like an honest, you know, inventory of our videos, most of the videos are just Penn and myself, because our kids, their primary job in this world is to go to school. And then they have little responsibilities around the house. And they're both, they do like tennis, which is the CDC said is safe. So they play tennis. So they're busy. And so they're not in all of our videos. At this point, our son has started his own little YouTube gaming channel, and it's adorable. But we never, ever, 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 ever make them. In fact, they are like legitimately on payroll. They get paid. So when we do a brand deal or anything like that, so they are coin operated. They love doing it. But there are days you'll just see Penn Charles or you'll just see Lola. And it's because they're like, no, I don't want to. And then they don't.
Yeah, I feel like I want to give credit to our friends, our fellow creators, the Ebby family, for kind of getting us ready for this. Mm-hmm. They have kids who are a little bit older than us, like a few years older than us. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was talking to, I know his name, I can't say his name because it's like the guy, the dad from the Ebby family. He told us like, you're going to get to a point really soon where they're going to want to go off and do their own stuff. And that's going to be something that you are going to want to produce like you do with your other videos, but you just need to let them do it.
Right.
And I feel like that has happened in the last couple of years, and I'm very proud of them. And I'm such a micromanager. I have to hold back a little bit. I can't say, you know what I would do here?
Right.
Until they're ready for that kind of feedback. But for now, it's just like letting them explore that space.
And it doesn't need to be their job. It doesn't need to be. So our son, we put his YouTube account doesn't accept, you can't write a comment on there, and then you can't, we put these safeguards around it. It's attached to our account, so we see everything. He has to show it to us before, but he shoots and edits everything himself. And yeah, Penn's like, well, what if we added a graphic here? What if we added some music? And he's like, I don't want to do that. And you're like, okay, fine. Like, it's not what we would do.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to make money on it. He doesn't need to do any of this stuff. So that's a really long way to say our kids are showing interest in this. Therefore, they like it now. If at any point in time they didn't want to, we wouldn't. And our dog is in here. We're up in our attic, our little podcast attic space, and she's chewing on something. So I'm going to ask the next question, then I'm going to pull it out of her mouth.
Okay, great. And then let us know, as I try to answer it, just what's in her mouth.
Okay, first I did pull out some duct tape.
Okay.
Are you always happy and fun?
Okay, okay, see you later, honey. No, of course not. I think that would be a dangerous way to live, always happy and fun, because there would be an eruption there, right? So I'll start with myself. I am generally, my baseline is fun and happy. I happen to look at life in a fairly rosy way most of the time. I was blessed with great parents and great friends and a great wife and a great family. And when you're surrounded by that kind of stuff, I think it's a disservice to the people around you if you're not happy most of the time. However, like, I get in some funks.
It's interesting.
And they're bad.
Well, I mean, I think it's normal. It's interesting because in personal life, you're like, the mood shifts when you walk in a room. When we used to walk in rooms, now we just sit around. But when we used to go to dinners or parties, the mood shifts because you are always the one that's leading the sing along or karaoke or whatever. Like, the mood changes, and I love to witness that. I'm the one that sits, you know, with my back to the wall, and I'm like, don't talk to me. In our professional world, I am actually more of the optimist, and it's going to be okay. We're going to get it done. We're going to do this. And you sometimes are the kind of switch roles. Mm-hmm. So in business, I'm more of an optimist. In real life, I am definitely sky is falling.
Do you feel like, I want to follow up on that. Do you feel like that's because one of us has to be one of them?
Right. I think so.
Because in business, I would love to be the optimist, but I don't think two optimists in business saying everything is going to be fine at the, you know, running a company, that's not always the best idea.
Okay, here's a heavy one, and we got four different versions of this question, but this one came in.
Okay.
How to save friendships when they are anti-mask and you are pro-mask?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go check in Sunny's mouth because I feel like you're more qualified to answer this question than I
am. We're taking turns trying to...
But this is a Kim special.
No, it's not. And I think that that's probably an entire podcast of how do we heal when we are very divided on what science says, which is weird. So just so you know, we are very strong mask people. And if you're going to try to convince me otherwise, you're just going to be wasting your time on the keyboard. It's fine. And I don't even say, like, you do you, because when you do that, it's like a group project, right? And we're all part of a group. So we're maskers. We do. And even in my family, we have people that have said the words to me, it's just the flu, I don't get it. And they are in the part of the population that would statistically be hit hard. So I have struggled with this. And so in my family and in my friend, you know, extended friend group, I am choosing to
educate
in a very kind way and say things like, I understand it's hard to know what's true right now. I understand there's so much information out there. These are the words I've said, and I understand how confusing it is because of all of the information out there. This is why I feel it's important. And then I give numbers and I give statistics. They are free to give numbers and statistics back, but most of those are in the form of a meme. And then I say, I'd love to see your data. If you have more than a meme, I can talk to you. I would love to talk to you about it. I love you. And I always follow up with, like, I start and end the sentence with, this is out of love because I love and respect you so much. And I end with, I love you. And it's a really hard, terrible thing that's happened to our country right now. So I think what I have chosen to do is I'm not giving up on these friends and family members. I am choosing to not be around them right now. I mean, we're not around anybody, so it's making it really simple. But I'm not giving up. And this time next year, I have faith that there's going to be a vaccine. We're going to feel safe going out. And it will. We're going to get over it. We're going to get through it. And I have and I think this is a whole podcast because I have this really, really bad habit of holding grudges. And Ben's laughing because it's true. And it's bad. It's a character flaw on my part. I don't forgive easily. I do this thing where I just, it's bad. And so I even talked to my therapist about it this week.
Yeah. So I have a slightly different answer to the question. However, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. Right. This is a yes and, not a no but.
We like to yes and. Yep. Even we
yes disagree. And. So I do it a little bit differently. I deflect a little bit and I look for common ground. That's my biggest thing that I try to do. I think Donald Thompson, who we had on this podcast, had the best piece of idea. And he was talking about systemic racism, but this applies to a lot of things. Like, if you don't think you can change anybody's mind, just keep it moving. So I think keeping it moving in this case is dangerous.
Great.
So I don't quite keep it moving, but what I do try to do is find a common ground. And even my most far end, this is a scamdemic friends that I know, I've been very fortunate to have those friends and people that I've talked to that all agree with certain things. They don't want to die. They care about their loved ones and want to keep them safe. They have different data that they bring me. Like when I try to educate them with some of the things that you say, they come back with, well, in college, you know, because one of my big things was like, oh my gosh, people who are going off to college, this is nuts. So my friends have come back to me with, there have been 80,000 cases of COVID and 3 of them that are college kids have been hospitalized. Rather than coming back to them with something else, I try to find a common ground and say, yes, it does seem like younger people this is affecting them less, but we don't really know. Right. And then so the common ground becomes, we don't really know. But like, I'm searching for these little things. Is it that we don't really know? Is it that we want to keep our elders safe? You know, the one thing that I try to at least convince people of, and I think this is a pretty rational thing, is that me wearing a mask isn't going to harm you in any way. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I deal with it. I try to find common ground, and those things that I really, really truly believe in, I know in my heart, if I say them, then that's going to be the end of our friendship. And I like our friendship.
So it feels to me like an entire podcast, because I can talk about this for an entire hour. I have made it kind of my mission to try to have the conversations, and they're very awkward. And I 100% have lost friends, and it makes me really sad.
Yeah. And you heard me talking, and like, I knew you wanted to jump in. Mm-hmm. And disagree while I was talking, even while I was telling this story, because I know that this is something that you really strongly believe in.
Right.
So I think maybe the answer is you might lose some friends.
No, and I have. Where it gets, you know, I don't want to lose a relationship with family members, so it gets a little tricky. But at this point, we're kind of pausing. We're just we're just on pause. So I'm sorry. So I know the person who asked the question, and it breaks my heart that that's happening too. Okay, let's go happy. Let's go somewhere happy, shall we?
Yep.
If a toy company made an action figure, what two accessories would you come with?
I'm sorry, say that again?
If a toy company made an action figure out of you, what two accessories would you come with?
Oh, gosh.
I have your two. Okay, I'm going to do your two, and then you do
mine.
And then you can do mine.
Okay.
A microphone and a hairbrush.
I mean, that's funny. I don't use hairbrushes, that's but true. I get it. Yeah. You're thinking more like a
hair gel.
Yeah, some pomade.
Yeah, some hair product.
So a microphone and some hair gel. Yours would be a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately, so gross.
Well, I mean, it's your job, so that's understandable. I didn't mean that in like a bad way.
No, it's bad. It's bad. Yeah.
And I don't know, like ballet shoes or something. Oh, like
that's
dance,
cute.
Like dancing shoes.
I thought you were gonna say a glass of rosé.
You know what? Let's get rid of the phone and go glass of rosé, which is new, by the way. It used to be
a Sauve Blanc.
Yep. So a glass of rosé and some dancing shoes. I like that. I'll go with that.
Okay. What trait do you most admire in each other?
Oh, it's easy for me. Kim has a very healthy self-realization, self-deprecating sense of humor that I noticed really early on, and it didn't make sense to me because she was so hot when I first met her. Like, why do you have any, why don't you just stand there and be hot? And then I realized that it was actually very sexy, is that when she is acting out of sorts, she checks herself before anyone has to say anything about her. And she does it in a funny way. And it's really refreshing when you're in a relationship where you live and work together and the person who's with you can do that. I like your boobs, but but I didn't think that was the answer you guys were looking for, so I'm going to go with a more mature one.
Oh, pen holderness. I would say to you, there's a lot of things, but I would say you, and along the same vein, you forgive well. So whereas I do the holding of the grudge, you are very resilient after we've had a fight and we kind of say, okay, I'm sorry, I learned this, and we talk about how we fought. You move on, and you, not just with me, with your friends too, and there's been a lot of discussions, as we just talked about, like you've had with your friends, and you don't take it personally, and you move on in a very, it's pretty awesome. That, and you have a cute butt.
Thank you. Did you feel the need to objectify me after I did that to you?
No, but you really do. I don't think people see it because you're always like, we don't show that part of you.
We don't do a lot of videos that are butt forward.
Not
I think that's
a lot
okay.
of butt videos, but hey, you never know. Middle-aged man butt may be the thing on Instagram. So, ew, it's so bad. How do you deal with seasonal depression? Penn doesn't get it.
I get it in the summer.
Because he hates
I'm
being
opposite
hot.
Of you. Well, dude, there was just this period that, and look, the best thing that ever happened to me was that I moved to Orlando because I met you. Mm-hmm. But there's darned if that isn't just a swamp of humidity, and you dress up for work in a suit and you get out of your house and your car is 20 feet from your house.
But your butt starts sweating.
By the time you're in your car, all of your nether regions are this sticky soup that are all sticking to different parts of your body that aren't supposed to ever stick together. Mm. And you were outside for 7 seconds.
I know. Oh, I miss Florida.
So that really did, like, that constant like haze of humidity and heat made me really bummed out. I couldn't get exercise like I wanted to. And I didn't ever want to be outside. So I dealt with it by complaining about it and moving. So I'm more curious about yours.
I have the more traditional seasonal depression.
Yes, that's true.
yeah, and it's like, it's here. And I wanted to do a skit, and I kept writing it, but it kept turning out so dark. But I was working on the script for like a day of like when my seasonal depression meets my COVID depression, oh, and like God. What that conversation
is. That the one you're working on?
I've been working on it forever.
Oh, I've got to read that. That's funny.
No, but then it's bad. It was just so dark, and we kind of try to peddle funny stuff, and it wasn't, it was like sad funny, not
right.
Yeah, I couldn't get it to be funny.
You want funny, funny.
If there's any like script writers out there that want to help me write this, I'm down with it. But they were kind of characters. So I was.
And you play all of them.
No, so I was regular me. And then like my seasonal depression walked up. And then my they started fighting over who got to be in charge, like COVID or seasonal depression. So it is work. So right now where we live, it gets dark. It's pitch black at 5 o'clock. And that. It's a surprise.
It's daylight savings that gets you, right?
Well, it's part of, yeah. And it's so cold. And so it's dark, it's cold, the leaves have come off the trees, they look so bare. So I want to move to Hawaii, but knowing that's not a thing, it is work. So I put it in the garage, I have to get it out of the garage, but this time of year I get the, that lamp, the light lamp, and mm-hmm. I can put this in the show. I mean, there's 1,000 of them on Amazon, and you have to put it at eye level. So you put it on a stack of books. And so when I'm kind of answering comments on Facebook in the morning, I turn it on and I have that kind of in my face, because there's all the science about like how if you have sunlight and that sort of and mimics it, it mimics sunlight. But if you have that first in the beginning of your day and it helps that. I have to exercise. It is so cold. And we're not even into like the thick of winter yet, but I have to get outside for a little bit. And then now I have like a Peloton and the whole thing. And then it's such a bummer, but I have to lay off booze and eat right. It is such like all of these things are like the biggest no fun, like eat right, exercise.
But
all
'tis the season to not exercise and eat poorly. So right. You have to really stay on that.
And this year, I'm kind of doubling down because I know that with COVID and just regular and then just the insanity of this year, I am treating myself to like I've been off and on a therapy since I was in college, but I'm making appointments. So even I have this, you know, sweet therapist that like even if I don't have like a big thing to talk about, even if it's not like triage of a big thing, we just talk. And it's not always heavy and deep. Like for example, last week it was like, how do I get over these grudges I'm holding? Yeah, we kind of talk through stuff.
Can I ask a little bit more about, so seasonal affective disorder, am I using that term right? I think if you don't have it, you just kind of in your brain, you compartmentalize it as, oh, okay, she's just bummed out because it's cold, right? Which is, that's a good way to simplify it. And then I move on with my life and say, okay, my wife, I got to remember that she's bummed out because she's cold. Is there more to it? Is it that same depression fog, right, but exacerbated because it's cold? It just gets worse.
Well, I don't think it's a temperature thing. I think it's.
I mean, is it like, you know, postpartum? Like it's a different type of depression.
Well, first of all, it's different for everybody. But the symptoms for me of like the seasonal affective disorder are just increased fatigue, like all those depression, and it's right. Physical. So there are days you don't want to get out of bed. There are days you're kind of just, somebody has like hit you with a bat of anxiety. It's all of those symptoms. And it is due to like the research show, there's the lack of sunlight. There is the lack of, I mean, the temperature and all of those things. So for me, that's how it exhibits. There's just like a general lack of, lack. And then general desire just to put whipped cream straight in my face on a daily basis.
And it's really unfortunate that we had to buy several cans of whipped cream for our more recent Hallmark movie.
And your son and I have eaten like one entire tub ourselves.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
He's
like, I really love this. And he goes, you know what would be best on this? I was like, what? He goes, M&Ms. I'm like, you're right, buddy. And we have some. So we just sprinkled M&Ms on top of a bowl of Cool Whip. And good times.
I think you need to allow yourself the ability to do that some.
But no, but right? That being said, the next day I feel gross and it's kind of a vicious cycle. So I do, I mean, it's so annoying, but I eat right and I exercise and I have been trying to lay off the booze. It's not perfect, but baby steps.
Yeah. Tis the season.
Tis the season. Oh, this is a good question because I think so many people are dealing with it. How do you manage to relax in your house when it's part of your work? So many people are working from home. So,
oh, you mean house is part of your work?
Yeah.
That's
so,
a good question.
Yeah. Or we work from home. So, how do you relax?
So here's one of my first tips. Everyone has the ability to do this, and not everyone does it because there's a comfort of working in your house where you can work from anywhere. You can sit on your couch and you can type. You can go up in your bedroom and you can work. You can Zoom. You can work from anywhere in your house. The first thing I think you should do is have a designated workspace. Mm-hmm. And that's so that when you relax, you can get away from that. So if, here's what I mean. If you're working on your couch all day mm-hmm. and then you want to relax on your couch, no one around you is going to realize that you're not working anymore. Mm-hmm. We're just not that observant as people. So I think find like a dedicated place for you to work. That way, when you get there, you realize you're working. And when you leave, you realize you can relax.
Yeah. I know that's perfect. The issue does become with us, like we shoot in our kitchen, so we'll have tripods, lights.
And we've worked on moving those lights out of the way as quickly as possible so that we can get back to our life. So that's a good point.
And so what we've done, we had this dining room. I think every house at some point was designed with like a dining room. And so we donated the dining room table and chairs. And now that dining room, it is... my Peloton's in there, but it is just the place where the lights and the tripod and all that stuff goes.
So it's second garage.
It's like a garage, but yeah. It's inside our house. So it doesn't look pretty. We're not going to win any design awards, but it's storage. I think that's great advice. And then I would also add, try your best to like set those boundaries of hours. Like we don't work past six, and I try not to bug people past six. We work with a lot of people in LA and they'll call at 8 o'clock and I just don't answer.
Yeah.
So I know it's 5 o'clock for you, but I'm out.
Do you remember that one time you were talking to one of your friends? I'll never do this again. I'm glad I learned something. You were talking to one of your friends about something important. I think her mom was sick or whatever it was. And our representative from LA was calling us. And to me, it was very important because when they call us, like that's money, that's work, that's job. And I literally, it was 8 o'clock. I literally walked into the room while you were having a one-to-one and did not, like you were talking. I was like, honey, Mary is on the phone. They need to talk about this deal. And you were furious. Mm-hmm. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I didn't understand why at first. Mm-hmm. I didn't, because I didn't understand those boundaries. Yeah. This was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and thank God we had that fight. And again, our book will teach you that fighting, if done correctly, can bring you closer together. And this is one of those fights that did bring us closer together.
Yeah,
because like both sides have to understand that. I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I can't just understand my boundaries. I have to understand your boundaries.
Right.
Everyone, we should make a chart of all of our family's boundaries. Does that sound like fun?
That sounds like fun.
Let's do it.
This good question. What are your favorite love languages and favorite adult beverage? Love language. I am an acts of service girl. I mean, nothing is sexier than when he takes my car to get it, like get an oil change. I mean,
it's so weird, but she's
so
right.
Hot. Like he's like, I got gas in your car. I'm like, what?
I'm like, you know what? I'd love to get some this weekend. And so
He'll start like raking. Yeah. He'll rake. He'll
and it's especially good if you haven't asked me to do it.
Like, bonus! I mean, no, yeah. it's so much better if I don't have to like make you a list. So I'm acts of service. What about you?
I'm physical touch.
Yeah,
it's and I mean I need some affirmation because I have a fragile ego because I'm a man. but mostly I'm a golden. Remember, you guys know this if you listen to this podcast. I'm a golden retriever. What do golden retrievers like?
They like to be pet.
and they like to hear good boy.
You're a good boy.
Yes.
And then speaking of golden retriever, our dog is like sniffing around back there.
Did you answer the question about the drink? Did you say rosé?
These days I'm into a good French rosé.
So she goes like 2 years. However long it takes a snake to shed their skin or whatever.
And then
like
I change drinks.
Yeah, and it happens when you were pregnant, there were like the weird taste bud things, but this is like every 2 years you went Oaky Shard. This is her journey. Oaky Shard, Pinot Gris, so like
Sauv Blanc, so
KJ, and then over to Santa Margarita, over to Kim Crawford, and now we're in Whispering Angel.
Yeah, I mean it's a wild ride, you guys. It's been a journey. Thanks for coming. What about you, dude?
So I need to kick this at some point, but it's been like a four or five year love affair with hazy IPAs ever since they kind of broke into the scene. Like I was schlepping illegally Trilliums from Boston to Raleigh in my backpack.
It wasn't illegal. You're allowed to carry them across state lines.
I don't think you are.
Are you not?
I don't think you're allowed to fly with them. Anyway, I did that.
Maeve broke the law.
Come lock me up.
Cool.
These hazy IPAs, they've started making them in North Carolina, and they look like a mimosa. And even Kim has had a sip of them and admitted that they aren't terrible. But so right now, I'm going way too far overboard with this. There's a brewery in Charlotte called Resident Culture that I'm obsessed with. There's one in Asheville called Burial that I'm a huge fan of. There's one in Wilmington called New Anthem. And in Raleigh, we have a place called Linwood Brewing that my buddy Ted owns that I'm going to this afternoon because I need self-care.
He's going to sit outside. He's going to sit outside.
Yep.
I am very strict on social distancing.
Well, of course we're sitting outside.
And I actually am not a fan of even Penn doing that. So
sitting outside?
I think there's going to be a lot of people there, honey.
I don't think you understand how far away men sit from each other normally. Like not just...
And it's just one person you're meeting with?
Yeah. We'll be farther apart than you and I are right now. And let the record show we're 8 feet apart right now. Men have very loud voices and we just talk very loudly from far apart.
Okay. Wow.
And it's like, it's going to be cold enough that no one else is going to be there. I'm trying to maintain a social existence while not only adhering to our state's laws, but going beyond them in the safety regions. Cause I don't think that anyone's being safe enough. So I know you're worried about it, but the last thing that I want to do is to bring that crap into our family.
Okay.
So good talk.
Good talk. That's welcome to our marriage. How do you come up with all of your wonderful ideas? First of all, thanks for calling them wonderful. Let's be honest. Some of them are crap. This is what happens. This is the process. And we have two people on our team full time as of this year. Anne Marie actually started 2 years ago. So Anne Marie Tapke, and then
Sam Allen.
I was just going to explain why I said Anne Marie's name that way. Anyway, and Sam started this year full time. So we have like a meeting on Monday via Zoom, and we talk about like, what are people talking about? What's going on in my life? What's going on in your life? And then we talk about whether there's a song idea. We talk about, is this a skit? Is this a vlog? And yeah, so like today, I was like, is there, cause this year we're, you know, this will air the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving this year looks really different for us. Normally, I have a shopping list the weekend before. I start cooking the Monday before. And this year, it's just us. So I'm going to cook on Thursday. I'm not even going to brine the turkey. We're just going to fry it. Like we may as well just order pizza. Like that's where I am mood-wise. And I'm like, is there a skit about this? Is it a skit about like 2019 versus 2020? Is there a way we can compare it? And so we kind of talk through that. And so, yeah, it's a conversation and it's a lot of pitch. It's a lot of spaghetti on the wall, and not all of them are good.
It's interesting though. We've answered that question a lot and we don't mind getting it. And the shortest way to say it is we look at what's going on around our lives and we either try to make it rhyme or we try to make it funny. And, you know, really the next thing is like, what's the vehicle for getting that point across? Is it Kim dressing up as three different versions of herself? Is it a musical review? But one thing we've never really talked about is the process by which you and I write, because it's different, right?
Yeah.
Kim has, and I don't think either one is wrong. I think each one works for us, but Kim has a way, and you can talk more about yourself, but I'll talk about you first. She goes away and she tinkers with it. She starts with an idea and then she walks away from it. And then she goes back to it. And then she walks away from it again. And then she goes back to it. And then once it's all done, it's actually very refined. And she can do this. She can juggle 8 ideas at once. Mm-hmm. So that by the end of the week, she might have 8 of these scripts that she's come up with. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I got to get through one of them. And for that reason, my writing process is a lot quicker. I'm not saying it's better. I don't think it is better, but I have to do one at a time. And if it takes longer than an hour, I give up.
And there's a lot of things that my depression's meeting. I should have given up on that a while ago. I'm like, I think there's a nugget there. I just can't figure it out. And I just kind of like whittle away at it. But you also do something very different. Yours is like a song parody thing,
yeah,
which you do so brilliantly. Like it's really a gift.
There are other things that I wrote. Like I wrote that first Hallmark thing in about 8 minutes.
Right. So he writes original music too. And so we've been doing these kind of goofy parodies, like, you know, of these Hallmark movies, but I guess by the time this airs the next week, we're going to have like a musical version. Like if the Hallmark movie was a musical, mm-hmm. and so it's all original music and he wrote it in like a second.
Yeah. No, I was referring to the first one we did, like the script.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you guys had such a great idea. Mm-hmm. I'll literally stop the conversation and say, I got to go write this. Mm-hmm. And that was the one, like the first every Hallmark movie, ever one that we did. And the reason why it was so easy is because we were purposefully writing terrible script. Mm-hmm. But I think I wrote that one in about like 8 minutes. I just, if I don't write something quickly, I know myself well enough to know it's never good. My dad used to give up if it took longer than 3 hours to write a sermon. And you're not like that. But it works for you. Like
always. But that being said, we get scripts to a certain point sometimes and we're like, you know what, this is not good.
Yeah,
and we hit delete.
Yeah. And that was remember that used to be tough.
Right.
Like we would just say, you know, like we did all this work, we gotta finish it.
Right. And then you have to think like there are major motion pictures that have been shot and that have never seen the light of day because somebody said, you know what, this is not very good. So if it means we're not putting a video out.
Yeah. And I really am a modern Martin Scorsese, so next question. We have time for a couple more, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Do you think you'll stay in North Carolina forever?
No.
No.
God bless you for staying here with me for this long. Mm-hmm. Kim is I want to tell this story and make sure everyone knows it. Kim is a Florida girl. Kim was born in Florida. It's nuts, particularly in her line of work. Born in Florida, went to college in Florida, got her first 4
Panama City, Sarasota, West Palm Beach, Orlando, 4 jobs.
4 jobs in Florida. If you work in local news, being able to stay in the same state is insanely difficult. Luckily, Florida has all these different markets from different sizes, but she only left when we were engaged.
Yeah, and we moved to New York.
So we went to New York for a few years and then we realized that we weren't private equity bankers.
We realized we were broke.
Yeah.
And had a baby.
So we came back to North Carolina and neither of us expected this to be a 13-year right. engagement, which it is now, but some things happened. We needed to move down here for starters. We needed to be around family who could help us with children and television work and everything like that. Then we needed to care for some of our family. Then our job got revolutionized into something that entirely comes out of like our household. Then our kids built this network of friends and their own support group through school. And all of a sudden there's all of the you know, that's this intricate web and it's kind of stuck to all the parts of our life. And I just want to give you credit for this, Kim, because you're a nomad. You don't like to stay in the same place for too long. And you've been in the same place for 13 years. So thank you.
Well, you're so sweet. Well, thank you for acknowledging. So in my previous life, I think I moved around a lot. And I don't like being in one place for that long. And I also love the water. I love the beach. And where we are in North Carolina, there's not quick access. Everybody's like, oh, it's only 2 hours away. I'm like, dude, I need it like 2 minutes. That being said, I love North Carolina. The people here are amazing.
The
community's great. And it's not has nothing to do with that. I just think for me, when the kids are in college. We'll probably have a home base here always, but I would love, if not traveling part of the year, maybe getting something closer to a beach than that's warmer year round.
And your family, like, I will handle the kids. You will have my 100% support and the kids will be fine.
Right. They'll be fine.
It does seem more likely than not that we may be here through at least one of our child's high school experiences, though.
No, we're totally staying through the, like, I, that's the thing. And that, you know, PC's in fifth grade now. He'll be leaving for college. I'm going to blink and he'll leave for college.
It goes fast.
It goes so fast. It would be stupid to leave because I want to live near a beach, because right now we are 2 seconds, like, we're in this, it's fine. It's fine.
Has COVID changed where you want to move? It has, right? Because you've gone from, like, you liked LA for a while and now you want to just go to a completely different part of the world.
I think I have, and we've talked about this a lot, that, like, I have the, you know, and another question we got, and we can segue into that, is if you woke up tomorrow and could not do what you do now, what would you do? So I think in another life, if I got another chance,
that's a good question,
I would wake up tomorrow, I would go to culinary school. And I would, but I don't want to be a chef in a kitchen. I just want to have, hi, Sunny. I just want to have a farm and have chickens and then make delicious food all day.
You want to be the barefoot Contessa?
Yes.
Okay.
So that doesn't actually pay just to live on a farm and cook food all day. So I'd need a job. So I guess I would.
Yeah. And you still can't remember. It's not, you can't do it. Like, you can't be on camera doing this.
Right.
So you would.
Maybe I'd be a private chef.
Oh, private chef.
Maybe it'd be a private chef. Or I love the behind the scenes part of this job. Like, I actually do get uncomfortable being on camera. So maybe I'd be like, I would love to be a writer for a TV show. And it's different. It's the same industry. But
are you able to have, I didn't understand this job. Is this like a realistic job, or could it be something that, like, could I be a wide receiver for the,
no? Sure.
Okay.
Could you?
No.
No. Okay. So what would you do realistically?
Well,
I could sell my eggs, by the way, at the farmer's market. I could be a farmer.
Clarify, okay. Your chicken eggs.
Yes.
Okay, good. I could sell my eggs.
Still get them.
Yeah. This is a tough one. Like, I want to be a professional tennis player. It would just be the coolest thing ever. You can travel everywhere,
but
and wear awesome clothes, but I'm not that good. Not even good. What would, honestly, it wouldn't be involved in food, because I like to eat, but I don't know how to cook. That's probably more unrealistic. Like, a chef is more unrealistic than professional tennis player. Because I'm just not that great.
Well, you don't have an interest in it.
Cook, so.
You like to eat, but it's fine.
I don't think I want to own a farm. Mm-hmm. I like being someone who performs in whatever way it was. Like, you know, I know it's not really performing when you're a journalist, but there was part of it where you got to put a little bit of yourself into what it was that you were putting out there. And so if that's gone, I think I'd be really bummed out. I don't know what I think. I'd go work.
I could see you working in in theater, like being.
I think I'd want to be a doctor.
What?
Yeah.
Stop.
Doctor.
Okay, you just said performing, and then doctors, like.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, I don't think I'd be able to do any. I think I'm taking out, if you can't do what you do now, part of what I do is theater. Like, all of my performance stuff are taken away. There was a point in time where if I could have gotten up early in the morning, I would have gone to med school and I would have been a doctor. I think that the ability to...
You're smart enough.
The ability to understand the human body in a way that almost makes you Neo in the Matrix and everybody else is normal. Like, you see everybody in these strands of code that are unbelievably special to see. Like, my friend who's a doctor, I complained about all of my body parts and he always, like, walks up and he touches three things and he's like, no, you think you have this, but you really have this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a skill and what a gift to be able to give that to people, to understand, like, what's going on in this great confusing thing that is the human body. Like, I could go, if I were a doctor, I could be helping maybe with the friggin' vaccine right now. Mm-hmm. It's the most,
it
I think
pretty
it's,
amazing.
It's the most awesome job out there. And
no doubt.
And, but you, like, you know, you would make more money if you went into selling supplies that doctors use when they're in surgery right now. Mm-hmm. But I would, yeah, I think I'd, yeah, doctor. It'd be a little bit of work, but I'd like it.
Wow.
Sorry.
But I could, you could go off and make the monies, and I would just sit on the farm and sell our eggs.
Sure.
Chicken eggs.
I'd have to be a good doctor.
Yeah, you'd have to be a good doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questions about how we're dealing with the potential of another shutdown, lockdown, and what that looks like. And I don't know is the big answer to that. So we did go get some more paper towels and toilet paper.
And it's no, but they're all gone. And it's, I know, people are getting shamed for buying too much of it. Like it's
well, no, there's limits on everything.
Right. But it's happening again.
I know. I wanted to leave on a high note. So, okay, we'll end on this one. We started with the kids. We'll end talking about the kids. How are your kids been dealing with 2020?
I can't believe how good of a year my daughter has had. Like, she's been sad. She was really sad when it started. It was her last, it's basically her senior year. Eighth grade for the school she goes to it's like your senior year. It's your last year. You kind of get to be the big man or woman on campus. And it's clearly not like that now. Our kids are at school. They're in like a germ pod in a very like lockdown situation. And so far it's proven to be successful and safe for everybody involved. She was, I'll talk about Lola and then you can do Penn Charles or you can.
Yeah.
Lola's been, she was really bummed, potentially even depressed. Like when it first got started, I don't know what happened, but around August or maybe July, she got out of it by making these goals for herself that I thought were pretty lofty for someone her age. For someone who has amazing street smarts, but has like struggled to be a straight A student in her school, she said, I'm going to make straight A's. And we're like, okay, it's going to drive you up the wall. And so she developed this new work ethic at school. And then she also said, I want to play college tennis. And we're like, okay, that's even harder. That is almost impossible for you to do. And we got her in front of a coach and the coach was like, here's what you have to do. And it was a laundry list of things. She's done every single one of those things. She's gotten, I don't know if she's going to be a college player, but she's gotten exponentially better. She's starting to win tournaments. And we just found out that she's going to get straight A's for the first time in a long time in really, really hard subjects that I have to relearn these things before I say anything about them. So I know that internally it hasn't been the best year for her, but I'm just going to give her a little bit of credit for getting out of the funk that everybody was in and saying, I'm going to get better at this and this. And she did it.
It is. Actually, I mean, and it sucks because I'm on text strings with friends and family and everything. And like their kids are doing what most kids are doing right now, which is it just a kid. By the way, school's back here of like they're going back in rotations and everything like that. So but kids, so many kids are struggling. So it feels like I don't want to like rub it in. But we have Lola, our oldest. It has been inspiring.
Yeah,
it's made me work harder seeing how. Like how she's just like dialed in. And I don't know when this switch flipped, but it was her. It was motivated exclusively. She did it herself. It wasn't magic words we said. So, and we definitely model, you know, exercise and we model hard work. We do that, but she decided these goals and we're trying to support her on that. Our son, who is very much like my husband, just the happiest, goofiest kid. He definitely...
It hit him when he couldn't go to school.
Yeah, he was depressed. We all were. By the way, they're in school. When they're in school, they are 6 feet away in mass, and he hates it. He does not want to go to school. He doesn't want to stay home. It's like we gave him that option too, and he doesn't want to do that either. You pick him up from school, and he's like, it's fine. So it is. It's hard to see, and it's just hard. We are forcing, and I never thought I'd be this parent. Oh my God. We are forcing him into an activity. So right now the only sport being played is tennis.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they've deemed it safe because it's outside and you're so far away from people. And he was so good at it and then decided he quit. He wanted to quit. So we let him quit. And then like a couple weeks ago, we're like, dude, you're going back. Like you, and he's like, I don't want to. I'm like, I know as your mom that you are a happier person when you're moving around. They don't really do that stuff at school. I mean, they let them outside, obviously, but there's no like group fitness thing happening. So as your mom, you need twice a week to get outside and I need to not be in charge of it. So, but he's going and not pitching a fit, so I feel like he's into it again. I mean, he's not. Yeah.
And I'll give him some credit too. I feel like I always need to give equal credit to my kids. He's like gotten more into reading and writing, and he's very gifted both. He can come up with things kind of at the drop of a hat. And so he's like starting to read some pretty complicated books. He's starting to write some pretty complicated thoughts. He's started this gaming thing that just, it gives him a chance to kind of express what's going on in his life beyond this like COVID fog that you have when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. He's dealt, like, I know he's been sadder this year than he normally has been. Like, you can see it in him, but he's finding ways around it just like Lola is. The tennis thing is one example. He also has become really considerate. Like, he asks you,
oh, he's the sweetest.
He asks you about your day. And
well, and I will say, when we've, you know, the kids were like, oh, what are we doing for Christmas? What are we doing for Thanksgiving? I'm like, it's just us, guys. It's just us. And obviously they're upset. They're allowed to be upset. And his first response was, it's okay. It's not forever. And so I was like, oh my God, he's so right. And so, you know, his birthday's in December. And, you know, we do little parties for them traditionally every year, just like little groups of friends. And like, okay, no party this year, dude, but we'll find a way, you know, well, what do you want to, you know, like, let's plan what we're going to eat all day. and he was like, okay, cool. And he loved it. And they love that game Among Us.
Oh, yeah.
So he wants to do, like, have the four of us do, like, an Among Us in real life. And we have to, like, draw. He's, like, designing this whole thing. And we're going to have, like, an all-day party for him. And I think there have been moments, like, bright spots I'm very impressed with our kids. But I know, like, but it can change.
Yeah.
Like, on a day-to-day basis, like, there's always the potential for drama.
Cliff Notes, answer to that question, they've both been sad in a way they've never been sad before, because there is a real loss and tragedy in what's been going on in their lives. When we see some of these like really creative ways that they're kind of digging out of this fog and trying to survive, we're proud of them. And I bet you every kid in America right now feels that same sense of loss. And also, if you look closely enough, is finding these new resourceful ways to get through it. And it's going to make them better people. That's what I believe. And so I think 100%. Any of you listening, you know, start by admitting, yeah, this sucks. But then I bet it wouldn't take you very long to think of something really cool that they've done.
Kids are so much, like, our kids are so much better than us. I mean, they're so, I really admire how our kids are. You know, like, when I start to have a pity party about, I can't see my mom for Thanksgiving. I mean, you know what? It's going to be fine. Not forever.
Yeah.
So, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for the questions.
I'm flattered if you got this far. Like, maybe my mom is listening at this point. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Peggy. You're great. I miss you. Can't wait to hug you.
This is really good stuff. It's a really good way to end it.
If you got this far, we really thank you and love you and appreciate you. And you know what, guys? We're going to make it. We're going to be okay.
Yes.
It's going to be fine. Not fine. We're going to make it, though. We're going to get through this.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Keep chugging along. It feels like we've been treading water for 9 years, but it's going to get better. I promise. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. And not see you. We'll hear you. No, we're not even going to hear you.
Bye.
You're going to hear us.